Brother Jeff said, I'm the father of three. These are our beautiful sons. They're all grown, and they all have their children. I'm the grandfather of nine. We just got number nine last December. And I'm the husband of one, 46 years, but in less than two weeks, 47, that picture is taken at a place where I asked her to marry me when I was all of 19 years old. She was 19. I was 20. Yeah, okay. I was older. Very mature, as you can see. As Jeff was saying, I've been in ministry for over four decades, actually moving probably closer to five. I pastored Cedar Grove Baptist Church in Surrey for 24 years, had the privilege of leading the ministerial there, which was a weekly prayer meeting for the city and the region for nearly 20 years of that time. I want you to meet these two people because they're very important to me in my life. They're two of my best friends, quite honestly. I'm in touch with them all the time. In fact, they just came to visit me. They're both same-sex attracted. And I want you to know that because we're going to be talking a bit about gender realities this morning and how they're impacting families and how they're impacting children and grandchildren. I want you to know first and foremost, this impacts me from a heart level, first and foremost. You're looking at my brother and sister. This has been a part of my journey, virtually my whole journey. My heart gets impacted very, very strongly over these things that we're dealing with. But I'm here to talk to you more from a truth perspective than a heart perspective. The challenge is that when you speak from a truth perspective, it doesn't always feel loving. But the fact is, love and truth are inseparable. You can't have love without truth, and you can't have truth without love. Jesus' love is inseparable, and yet it doesn't always feel like it. As Pastor Jeff said, next Saturday from 9 to 12:30, I'll be giving the rest of this seminar. This morning, you're getting the first part of it, which session one I call the why. And the why is why it's absolutely critically important that parents and grandparents teach their children a biblical worldview today. I'm going to be sharing with you why that's important. I'm going to give you reasons for it. And the fact is that when we're talking about worldview, we're talking about helping children and grandchildren how they see the world, the lens that they see it through. I'm going to provide you with a gospel lens of truth. We add the gospel part. Some just say worldview truth, but the gospel is added in there because the news we bring, the lens we look through, is always good news. It's not just truth. It's good news. Amen? So I'm actually this morning beginning this conversation of how to prepare children to live for Jesus in a world that's gone totally upside down and inside out, hey? So we need training for that. I'm going to share with you this morning, hopefully, three reasons why teaching children a biblical worldview is imperative. I'm going to give you three hard truths from Dr. George Barna to hear this morning. And hopefully, last time I didn't get to this because I was so worried about the time, hopefully I'm going to be able to give you one reason why everyone in the house can be as good or better parent than I. See, some people look at me and go, oh my goodness, no wonder you're a pastor. No wonder you have all this magic stuff. No wonder you have all this training. None of that has to do with what I'm talking about to you today. There's one reason, and only one reason, and I hope to get to that. So as we jump in, what are some of the different roles that a parent plays today? And I'm asking you, just spit them out to me. Provider? Teacher? Friend? Example? This side over here is doing really well. Role model? Coach? Disciplinarian? Nurturer. All the way from the back.
Doctor.
Doctor, yes.
Tax accountant.
Hey, you guys are on it. You've gotten just about every one of them. Caregiver, provider, protector, teacher, playmate, nurse, coach, cheerleader, disciplinarian, friend, confidant, referee, discipler, and diaper changer. Now, let's get practical, friends. You can't be a parent and not be a diaper changer. Ladies, can you just say thank you right now? Just say thank you, because if your husbands get nothing else out of this, I'm going to bring them some training. I have searched the world over for techniques of how to change diapers so that men have no excuse. It's like, hey, guys, find yourself in this picture and I can get you the equipment, okay? Is that the way to finish? Is there a dad here this morning who has changed a diaper this morning? Is there anyone in the house? How about yesterday? No? Oh, my goodness. Let's show this thing again. How about last week? Any dad? Oh, no. I finally got one. Okay. Hey, can somebody run this back to that dad in the back right there? Yeah. Way to go, dad. Oh, man, I was thinking, my goodness, I'm not going to find anybody? Do you know what? The Lord, he's such a trickster sometimes. You know he plays tricks, don't you? I was up in Prince George last week, and on Sunday, I literally said this. I said, you know what? I changed our boys' diapers all the time, from the beginning until they were diapers. In fact, a couple of them I trained. I got them out of the diapers, okay? Had a technique. Anyhow, but I said, I got to be honest with you, grandkids, I don't change their diapers. Tuesday, I had come home on Monday. Tuesday, my wife is mentoring a woman that has 4 children. No one could take care of the children. It was her birthday. My wife says, can you take care of them? I said, okay. So they're all under 6. The mom says, you got to change their diapers to 2 of them before they go to bed. Okay, I can handle that. Only both of them were poopy. So I got baptized again. Anyhow, what's a parent's most important role today? We talked about a lot of roles. You have to do them all. It's not like you can dump out on the roles, but which is most important? What do you got to keep focus on today? Well, absolutely. He's the answer. But I would commend to you today that the role of this teacher-discipler is the number one role you got to focus on today. That hasn't always been true, but it is today, because everything's changed. Now, the first hard truth from this book by Dr. George Barna. Dr. Barna, in case you don't know him, think of Gallup. Gallup does all the surveys. The difference between Barna and Gallup is Barna only does research on churches. Everything he does is for the church. He's been doing it a very, very long time. In fact, when he came out with this book 2 years ago, he said it's a compilation of 40 years of his research, and that it may be the most important book he has ever written. This is what he has to say in the opening pages. Our national refusal or failure to disciple our children will most certainly bring the Christian church in North America to collapse, if not to extinction. That's not an evangelist telling you that. That's a researcher. That statement is built on hard facts, friends, and it's astounding. How important was worldview training to Jewish families when they were following Yahweh? We know that the Old Testament is a mixed picture of them following and not following, but when they were following, how important was worldview training? Well, because this is a well-taught congregation, I imagine that most of you know what the Shema is. The Shema may be the most recognizable and critical teaching to an Orthodox Jew. In fact, the Shema is so central, so powerful, so important that when Hamas came in and killed all those Jewish people and took the captives, they began playing the Shema over the loudspeakers to reassure those who had been taken, we hear you, we know you, we see you, we'll find you, we won't give up. Start playing it 24 hours a day. That's how critical this is. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and this is what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now, that's a very, very common verse to us. Most of us thought Jesus was the one to give this verse. In fact, this scripture, the context of Jesus giving it was the Pharisees came to him and they said, tell us what is the most important commandment in the law. And one of the things that I love about Jesus, he didn't say, hey, buddy, I can't do that because they're all important. He actually did say there is a most important. And he quoted Moses. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then he said, I'll give you another. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's how powerful this teaching is. Then he says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Note that he didn't say in your mind. On your heart. Get it to the center of you, and then once you have, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Notice the pattern that he gives. He's actually giving clear instruction about how to do this when you sit, walk, lie, and get up. The idea here is that you're starting a biblical conversation that's going to happen at different points throughout the day, regularly, and it never ends. At the same time, I want to say to you, it stops, it just never ends. In other words, you don't want to always only talk about the Bible. That's not going to work, frankly. You're going to have to talk about all kinds of other things, and it's important that you do. But at the center, you're looking for opportunities to help coach them and frame them and shape them in seeing and understanding the world through the lens of Scripture. Right? Okay. The Shema reveals the Jewish parenting paradigm. There's 3 points to it. Number one, they were teaching their children their beliefs were centered in God's authority. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He made the universe. He holds the universe. He's the supreme power. He's who we look to. Can you see how just passing on that truth would lay a foundation for life change? Number two, they integrated their beliefs into daily life. That's when truth becomes powerful, when your children actually see you living out what the Bible teaches. If there's a separation between what you know and how you live, that gap is going to be insurmountable. Your children will not catch your faith. But if you take this third one and apply it to the other two, you're actually modeling out through your behaviors, through your attitudes, through your values to your children. It becomes powerful, especially when you blow it. One of the things that I'll be teaching to parents next week is a theology about brokenness, a theology about sin. If we don't help our children understand our broken estate and our sinful natures, they're going to be really, really confused because they live with you. I don't think I've ever said that before. You and I can't help but fail at times, friends. And probably more than we'd like to admit, hey? And if they don't understand humility, if we don't model humility, then grace can't flow like it needs to. When we model humility to our children, even when we blow it, grace gets released and it's powerful. This may be the most popular verse in all of Scripture, most often quoted verse in Scripture when it comes to parenting. In fact, this is the only verse that some people actually relate to parenting, quite frankly, when it has to do with the Bible. So Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Central. Now, what's the operative word in that text? You got it. The operative word is train. What does training translate to many parents? Many parents, as a pastor of many, many years, I observe this and watch this so often. For a lot of parents, to train them spiritually is to bring them to Sunday school every week and drop them off, and to bring them to youth group. And then parents will say, "I don't know what happened. Like, they fell away from the Lord. I had them in church every week. They went to Sunday school every Sunday. They went to youth group every week." Can I tell you a secret? It's not the church's responsibility to disciple your children. God is never going to hold the pastors of this church responsible for your children falling away, if they do, God forbid. The responsibility for transferring faith and actually developing faith and training faith is yours and yours alone. The amazing thing is that God has given you this thing called the church as an assistant. This beautiful church is here to come alongside you and try to help you and try to support and add to your parenting, but it's not their responsibility. It's ours as parents and grandparents, hey? How's training different than just talking? Well, training has to do with showing. It has to do with engagement. It has to do with structure. And the next thing that I'm going to give you is a little jolting for us. It has to do with indoctrination. Now, indoctrination is not a very popular term. It's like, "Whoa, dude, what are you talking about? We don't like it. What? We're not going to indoctrinate them." Can I tell you something? The world is indoctrinating your kids every single day. And they're indoctrinating with ideologies that are very inconsistent with the truth, which is actually causing children to head down paths that are wiping them out instead of building their life for flourishing like God intended. And the truth is, if you don't actually press these truths into your children, impress them on them, as Moses said, they're not going to have the weapons they need to stand against the battle that I guarantee you they're going to face. The only challenge is now they're facing it at an age in which it's ridiculous, okay? Three reasons why biblical worldview training is imperative today. The first has to do with your child. I don't need to tell you that your children and grandchildren are under absolute attack. An onslaught of attack. Now, before I share this with you, I want to make one thing very, very clear. We're going back to my brother and sister for a moment, okay? I want you to know and understand that I know that not everybody in the LGBT, who identifies in the LGBT community, is an activist. In fact, most are not. And many of them are very upset at the activistic kind of way that this is getting indoctrinated, okay? So I want you to understand that. I'm sharing with you what the activists are doing, and it is very serious stuff. There are plenty of them, but not everyone agrees that this should be happening. This song is from the San Francisco Homosexual Men's Choir. It's going to articulate for you the gay agenda, the activist gay agenda to convert your children. It's going to tell you the precise steps and things they're going to do to convince your children, and the steps that they're going to go about. They're going to win, how to win your brothers and sisters, but the ultimate goal is not winning the brothers and sisters. Guess what the ultimate goal is? Winning you. Listen to what they say.
We'll convert your children. Yes, we will. Reaching one and all. There's really no escaping it.
'Cause even grandma likes RuPaul.
And the world's getting kinder. Gen Z's gayer than Grindr.
Learn to love, learn to vogue, face your fate.
We'll convert your children. Someone's gotta teach them not to hate.
Second hard truth from Dr. Barna in his book, Raising Spiritual Champions. He says, while churches have merely continued to focus on adults, the evil one has switched courses and now focuses on winning over those whose worldview and life choices are being shaped prior to reaching their teen years. This is essentially over before they become teens. And it's why it is critically important that we change our own focus. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and be sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. This has been true throughout the centuries. In fact, this is a quote from the book of Job. It's true throughout the centuries, and yet never has it been truer than it is today, as we literally see body parts being taken that can never be replaced, which changes the destiny of people's lives. Satan is on the loose like he has never been. What might an attack look like and sound like today? Well, this is one of the leading gay activists in Canada, a transgendered man by the name of Morgane O'Shea. Listen to what he has to say about you in Canada And what his buddy follows up to say about you being the problem.
When asked about parents' rights, OJ says,
well, actually, in Canada, parents' rights are limited and children's rights are put ahead. So the child has the right to be protected from the parents when the parents behave badly.
Most gays, like Village resident Dave Davy DiCarlo, support Soji and limiting parental rights.
The change that we have to see is sometimes the parents and the kids are doing actually really okay.
This is very scary stuff.
We're gonna stop there because you've got me here. And you're not gonna hear what I said there. Okay. Can I ask you a question? Who was it that gave you your rights? Is it the Canadian government? Well, it seems like an awful lot of people are thinking that. God's the one that gave you your rights. The Canadian government does not tell you what you can and cannot do with your children. You need to rise up in the authority that God gave you, that he's going to hold you. You're not going to stand before God, friends, and say, well, the government said, the prime minister said, I was just trying to be a good citizen. Whoa, that's not going to fly. So it's going to require us to actually find the authority God gave us and actually walk in it with grace. Amen? To parent effectively today, we've got to understand the times and the conditions we've been called to parent in. And these times and conditions are like nothing before, okay? You've been called to parent in a culture of lies. The challenge is that lies often feel truer than truth. This is the challenge, and we live in a feelings first generation. The indoctrination is telling our kids that your feelings, what you feel about yourself, is more important than anything else. You got to do you. You got to be who you are. You got to be true to you, all of which has elements of truth, but is horribly off and demonic, okay? Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the truth. We're seeing that happen greater than we've seen ever, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Whenever you have people telling you that you can practice evil and it's good, that's a seducing spirit teaching doctrines of the devil. It is the devil and the devil alone who's going to try to trick you to do evil and call it good. Parents need to understand that worldview is being taught all the time, every day, all day long, and that the world is discipling our children. Do you believe that? To think that you could bring your children here 1 hour a week on Sunday morning and say 1 or 2 hours during the week to counter all the indoctrination and all the lies and all the twists and all the corruption that they're getting at school, in social media, on TV, everywhere they turn is foolish thinking, friends. The second reason why training our children is imperative is because of our churches. What's happening with our churches? What is happening with our churches and our schools in Canada is shocking, friends. Absolutely shocking. Dr. Barna did a survey in 2022. He was surveying pastors. And the questions were on things like heaven and hell, the Bible, sin, Jesus Christ. What do you believe about these things? Sadly, he found back in 2022 in North America, the survey was literally in the United States. It's worse here. He found that only 41% of senior pastors, this is not mainline churches, this is churches that would have been considered evangelical, only 41% of them even had a worldview themselves, biblical. Teaching pastors, 17%. I'm always confounded to say, if you're teaching and you're supposed to be teaching the Bible, how could we only have 17% of them teaching the truth of the Bible? Now, this is what's really shocking to me, is children and youth pastors, the people that we've turned our children over to for that hour, only 13% of them have a biblical worldview. So what are they getting? They're getting more philosophical twists and bends and stuff that isn't biblical, which is telling us we've got to do a better job at vetting those who are serving our churches. We can't, and especially in a church like this, Cedar Grove is a growing church. We went through times, we had four services in a much larger facility. At times it was like, hey, can anybody help? We need volunteers. And it's like, oh my goodness, I stop and think about that now. And it's like, oh, wow, we just can't do that, okay? Hard truth number three, the Christian body is getting smaller and weaker by the decade because we've failed to adapt to the new strategies and tools deployed by our spiritual enemy, Satan. One of my dear friends here in Canada was just on a call recently, just 2 weeks ago, a national call. And the guy leading the meeting said that 5,000 people are leaving the church every day in the USA, every day. That is hard to take in. That's hard to actually believe. It seems extreme, but that's what's going on today, friends. And that's what's happening in Canada. And I would say to you that this church is growing, and it's growing wonderfully, and it's growing beautifully. But I would venture to say, most of you who have come here in the last several years have come here looking for a church that teaches the Bible. Yes. And you were desperate to find a church, and you likely went to a number of churches, and you could not find one. May this church blow up! May these walls get knocked down. May it grow and grow and grow, but it is only actually affirming what this says. And thank God that there are people that are still looking for faithful Bible teaching. Listen, if there's going to be a next generation church, it's largely going to have to be homegrown. By homegrown, what I'm saying is, parents, you can, and this takes nothing against away from this good staff here and these great pastors. You cannot depend on somebody else to do it. You alone can be responsible for making sure it happens for the sake of the next generation. The third and final reason for why it's imperative has to do with mental health. Hello, you think? Look at this. Dr. Barna in 2024 said, the latest research shows a clear relationship between worldview and mental health. You think? Yeah. So what the issue is here, as a person thinks in their heart, the Bible says, so are they. What you actually think about the world or about God is going to affect you emotionally. Go back to the Shema. You think about God being in control of everything, even though tough stuff is happening, you know he's in control. You go to the Willoughby Mall, you're going to get a sign that says you're here, you want to go there. We have a bigger picture that says we are here, we got to go there. And we have the map that says this is all has to happen in order to go from here to there. And it's not all fun stuff. But as long as you know you're in his hands, he's got you, you can rejoice. Hey? You can be glad. You can have joy. Now, he goes on to say, individuals who lack a biblical worldview are more likely to struggle with common mental issues like fear, anxiety, and depression. Can you imagine being alive in this world and not knowing Jesus? I can't. How would you keep together? All this craziness that's going on just in the last few months. Just in the last few months and few weeks, someone would get murdered, assassinated, just for simply telling the truth. Children would be murdered while worshiping the Lord? This is no wonder people are freaking out. Then he goes on to say, for many North American parents, the failure to recognize the harmful consequences of worldview beliefs and behaviors may result in costly, futile, and potentially debilitating misdiagnosis. So we're taking kids into the world, and they're advising and telling. They're not advising, they're telling. Okay, well, you need this treatment and that treatment. You need these hormones. You need these surgeries. And it's like, hello! Seriously. Wow. Could teaching biblical worldview help a child's mental health? Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Stop worrying about it. What you will eat or what your body or eat or about your body, what you will wear, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? There's nothing you can change. Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Why don't you just come back to understand I'm in control? And not only am I in control, but I came to be with you. And not only did I come to be with you, but if you'll receive me, I came to live in you, said Jesus. Amen? Amen. And that causes you and I, that though the world's shaking all around us, to have hope and to have presence and power in that sense. Listen, friends, I'm going to leave you with this question. Got a few more things to say after, but I'm going to leave you with this question, and that is, this question, this statement's going to sound a little extreme, and I want you to talk on the way home. Was it extreme, or is it true? If our children have any chance of successfully navigating the chaos of Canadian culture, parents today are going to have to be all in. This isn't going to happen with part-time participation. It's not going to happen with being on the run all the time and not being focused, the disciple or teacher. And what does all in look like today? It means that you're going to have to make life and lifestyle changes. You're not going to be able to continue to go about it like you have been going about it if it's going to happen. Then here's my final question. Are your children's souls worth it? Because at the end of the day, that's all you've got. People will come and go. Friends will come and go. Churches will come and go. Everything will come and go. At the end of the day, I walk away with my family. And hopefully many other souls. Is it still possible to raise godly kids and grandkids in this environment? Is it possible? I like that. I'm not in many churches where it's that strong. I like that. And I say resolutely it is, but it will not happen if you do not have a plan and are committed to execute the plan. And that's why next week I want to share with you a plan, okay? It involves three more sessions. The first session is the what. I'm going to be sharing with you what is the content that you're going to be sharing with your children and your grandchildren. Now, I know that that could feel overwhelming. So how do you do this in one session? You're going to leave here with seven key words. That's what you're going to leave with. That's it. If I can get these seven key words drilled into you, I will have provided you with a template that you can consistently come back to in that Shema training. What is it I'm talking about? These seven key words. Then in session three, I'm going to give you the how. Like, it's one thing to know what to teach. It's another thing to know how to teach it. Those are two different things. I'm going to give you a mindset that you need for today and three tools. The tools, and those are our sons when they were little. How to establish authority over your children's lives that's not authoritarian. Authoritarian isn't going to work today. And yet many of us who are conservative in truth-minded churches tend to lean a little bit more towards authoritarianism. The second thing I'm going to teach you, this third session is my secret sauce. I'm giving you the best things that I did, okay? how to create emotional bonds. Listen, if you don't know how to get into your child's heart, you're never going to really get into their head. If you don't get into their heart, you're never going to impact their spirit. But you get their heart, and you get all of it. Finally, I'm going to share with you a day-to-day template for parenting. What is parenting all about on a daily basis? A very simple biblical parenting template, okay? Then in the fourth session, and this is over by 12:30, in the fourth session, I'll be giving you scenarios that are happening to parents all across Canada. And even after the first service, I heard several that are happening here that parents are facing. You're going to talk about them, and we're going to approach it. How would you deal with this situation with a biblical response? What would you do? What would you say? Okay? Take heart, friends. There is nothing new about what's happening. It's different, but the people of God have always been under pressure. Hey? The real people of God have always been under pressure. Now, there were three teenagers who said this, and I've taken a little bit of liberty in the second part of it. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And if he will deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hands. But even if he does not, that's one of my favorite phrases in the Bible. You get to the point that I don't even care if he doesn't. I don't need him to do it because I know where I'm going if he doesn't. We want you to know, Prime Minister, there's the liberty, that we will not serve your gods. That's what this is about, friends. We're bowing down to the Prime Minister and the government of Canada. We will not serve your gods or worship the images of gold you have set up. Now tell me their names. Tell me their names. Can you give them to me all together? Now can I tell you, since you gave them to me all together, those are not their names. Here's the deal, friends. Those are the names given to them to destroy their identity. You destroy identity by changing names. You destroy identity by changing truth. You cause them to think that they are worshiping other gods because of the names they were given. Every time it was repeated was the name of their foul demonic gods. How did those teenage boys come through it? How did they survive? Well, because they had parents that taught them the Shema. There's no chance they survive without the Shema teaching. There's no chance they stand in that godless environment without the Shema teaching. Now, I'm out of time, and I'm not going to be able to give you the one reason, because I am way out of time. Come on up here, Pastor Steve. I'm going to just give you one quick part. There's my father, Robert Henry Cavanaugh. He was killed at 36 in a plane crash. There's my mother, Dorothy Lucille, married four times. My stepfather left when I was in grade four, and there's me at 17. Lost as a blue jay. If you want to find out how you can be a better parent, I'm sorry. You'll have to come to the seminar.